Okay. Hi, everybody. Welcome. We apologize for the late start today. We had a little mix-up with time zones, but here we all are, and we're so glad for you that are here live with us that you're here. Thank you for your patience and waiting in the waiting room. And we would love to know who we have on the call today. And I'm going to hand you over to Nadine, who's your teacher, in just a moment, but I would love to know in the chat who's here. And where are you? Where are you in the world? We would love to know. And so Nadine is here. And Nadine, go ahead and say, wave and say hi.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I
Yeah.
again, so sorry for the time mixed up. They changed the clocks just last night, and here in New Zealand, and there was just a mix of timing. So we're really sorry to keep you waiting. Yeah, thank you so much for being patient with us.
Yeah, thank you all for your patience. So let's see here. Welcome, Dakota in Big Island, Hawaii. Welcome, welcome. And everybody, don't be shy. Go ahead and put your name and where you are in the world into your chat. Welcome, Sienna in Michigan. Glad to have you here. Okay, so everybody, it's going to be an amazing class with Nadine. We are so excited to bring you this class. And so, Nadine, I will turn it over to you now to go ahead and get started and have an amazing class, everybody. I know that you will.
That's great. Thank you, Jocelyn. And thank you again for all of you who are here. Thanks for everybody who has been arranging this. I'd like to just please ask everybody to put themselves on mute. I'll keep an eye on the chat as you tell me where you're coming from. It's so good to see all of you. I'll start by just taking a deep breath. I know we've been a little bit panicking about the time, but let's just take a deep breath and ground back into the space. Again, I'd like to thank everybody and thank the internet and the technology that's with us that has gotten made this possible for all of us. I'd like to also thank the ancestors and traditional custodians of the land that both you and I walk on. And I invite you just to imagine a big sphere of light just holding space for us all. And whether you're with us live here or you're watching on the replay, this big sphere of light is just holding space for us all and making this possible. So yeah, a little bit about logistics. We'll be meeting here for four times, three times in addition to this at the same time, and you'll be having replays as well as handouts of class notes after the a day or so after the session. And I will keep an eye on the chat, but if you do have a question, please put Q in front of your comment, and I will make sure to keep some time for to pause so that I can see your questions. Bear with me while I sort out the technology. I'm not sure who's sharing screens. Maybe Jocelyn, you can help out with that a bit. Okay. Okay, all good?
Yeah, all good.
Yeah, okay. I won't be sharing any slides, so we'll just keep it video. So what I'll start with, I'm going to start with something really quick, first of all, before we go into the lesson. What I will do, I want to ask each one of you a question. Now, you don't have to tell me the reply. Your answer is just for yourself, but I want to just ask you a quick question. Now, don't overthink the question. There's no right or wrong. Just think of the first thing that comes to your mind. And the question is this: If you wanted to imagine a strong and beautiful tree, what tree would you choose? Just quickly, what image of a tree comes to your mind? It has to be just strong and beautiful. Okay, everybody got their tree? Yeah. Okay. Now remember that because we're gonna come back to it later in the class. But I love trees. I remember when I was growing up, my mom used to take me and my sisters to the cedars forest. I'm originally from Lebanon in the Middle East, and we have big, beautiful cedar forests in the mountains. And these cedar trees, they're like some of them are 1,000, 1,500 years old. They're really, really ancient. And my mom used to take us there, and I'd feel so peaceful and so, so joyful when I was in that forest. And I would imagine a lot of a lot of images which would come to me when I was there, and I would forget all my worries and all the things that were on my mind, worries related to school and to family and people being upset. And my mom used to take us there. We had to drive in the car up the mountain. There was a very long, windy road, and the forest would just appear on the other side, and I would imagine a big green and brown dragon wrapped around the forest, just waiting for me to arrive. And I would go into the forest, and I would just pretend play and pick up branches off the floor and pretend they're magic wands, and just I used to feel so happy there. And in life, when people around me, adults and their adult worries, and they would be upset around me, I would come and think of the cedar trees, and they would give me some sort of advice. They would make me feel that, oh, remember, you have this powerful wand, you have this powerful light, or they would tell me, oh, you're as strong as a knight on a galloping horse. And then when I would come and tell my parents or my aunties that, don't worry, things are gonna be okay. I can see this big dragon protecting us. They would say, oh, you have such a big imagination. It's so good. You can write it in a book. And I used to feel very dismissed. No one would take me seriously. No one would feel the magic that I was feeling, the positivity. And they would think that I would think that they are thinking that I'm silly. And so I learned to just keep it to myself and not talk about it with others. And as I grew up, I didn't lose it, but it became something very private to me. I would just daydream in my own world and create stories. And I thought that was it, that maybe that magic that I saw with nature and with the trees and with the clouds, maybe it was meant just to be for stories and books. And I called it my creative muse, as like an imaginary friend that would come and tell me stories and keep me happy, and I didn't share it with the world. I kept listening to it, and that's how I ended up getting a lot of my dreams come true. Like one of them was traveling around the world, and here I am. I am in New Zealand. So I came from a very small village in Lebanon, and I had this chance to travel the world, and I ended up in a very beautiful place where it was one of my dreams to live somewhere very green. In Lebanon, there's a lot of buildings, a lot of chaos, a lot of people around. It's very crowded. I liked to live, I had a dream to live in a place where I can see very green fields around me. And see, that was one of the dreams that came true. And how did it come true? I listened to those nudges and voices in my head whenever I talked with my creative muse. There was a time, though, when I was also taken over by my adult worries around work, around money, and there was a time when I stopped listening to these voices, and I wasn't very happy at all. I used to think that okay, maybe I should focus more, I should work more, but I wasn't happy. What happened was one night I had a dream, and in that dream I was in my kitchen with my kids, and my kids were, making chaos, and I was getting angry and worried and, getting upset. But what happened? A snake came into the kitchen. In the dream, a very big snake came into the kitchen, and I was suddenly so scared. I was worried, like, okay, there's a snake in front of me. What do I do? And then, but I was in the dream, I was frozen. I couldn't do anything. So I could hear my kids screaming, and they were scared. And I couldn't really do anything. I was just frozen. And then the snake came up, and it lifted its head like this, and it started getting very bigger, big, and bigger. And then it went down and bit me. It bit me in my shoulder in the dream. And then I woke up. I woke up with the same pain in my shoulder. It was so real. And that pain stayed with me for like one full day. And the snake felt to me so real. And I knew that there's something is trying to tell me something. And looking back on it, I'm pretty sure the snake was sort of related to the dragon that I used to see when I was small. And it was a message from the universe to remember the magic, to really go back to that relationship that I had with the magic. And the first thing I did afterwards was to sit down with myself and say, okay, where have I stopped listening to the magic? And then I started researching, and I realized there are lots of people that have their own magic guide, and they are very successful people who had made their dreams come true. And I realized I'm not the only one who had this sort of relationship with magic. So I decided that I'm going to start sharing about this, and that's why I'm here. I'm here just to share about my experience and tell you that there is a bit of truth to it. Now, everybody experiences this differently. It depends on each person. For me, it was being in nature and seeing hearing the trees talk to me and give me images, and having that, imaginary friends that beside me, giving me voices. And when a few years ago, I found an Oracle deck card, and there's this card. Not sure if you can see it. It's called Magic. It's from the Mystical Shaman Oracle deck. And if you can see that girl, how her look is mysterious, and just imagining that there's more than what the eye can see. There's around us, there's something so sacred and so mystical that you can't deny the presence of it. And so I picked this card as a let's say as a token for this class today, just to bring the magic alive. So yeah, that was my story. As I said, people experience the magic in different ways. Now I'll just take a pause here and invite you to think about what does magic mean to you? What do you think of when you think of magic? If you'd like to share in the chat, go ahead. It's okay if you don't. So just, yeah, take a pause and think about what does magic really mean to you? And I'm gonna start sharing a little bit about what magic means to me as well. Yeah, so truth says joy. Yeah, joy. It is about joy and feeling happy and feeling uplifted that there's something extraordinary happening around us. I think when I think of magic, I think of the word miracles. Miracles is something you think that is impossible, but it comes true. I've seen lots of miracles in my life, and I've been through a long journey traveling wide and having different experiences. I think the biggest miracles are actually my kids as well. My eldest child, he almost died when he was a baby. He was still 1 month old. And it was really a miracle that he was, he's still alive. And now he is seven, he's almost 17, my eldest. So just the, there are big things and there are small things that, and all of them are considered miracles, whether big or small. And the thing about magic, it's also about synchronicities. Now, what does synchronicity mean? It means something that you wouldn't expect to happen, but somehow it gets things get connected and they occur. It's like the I've got an example here. Now suppose you're in a maze. You're this orange dot here in the middle of a maze. Now sometimes maybe you're comfortable, you're okay, you don't even know you're in a maze. But somehow you feel that there's something outside the maze, and it's something bright and it's something calling out to you. And you just know it. You know it to be true. And you have this inner calling inside you that you want to go after it. You can't explain it. You just know that it's in there in your heart. And and you find yourself in your life like you're in a big maze. There's these big walls around you, and it's easy now to see the maze because we can see it. But when you are inside it, it's hard for you to find your way through. And synchronicities happen when you find your way through. You just find your way through. You have this, the orange path. And suddenly this path appears in front of you, and you know where to go. You know whether you need to turn left or right, or you need to go straight. So I say magic is when this path appears in front of you so that you can get to this thing that you really want. And there is this path is doesn't come out of nothing. There's like a secret web, like a secret spider web that is running beneath the universe. And the path is part of the web. Magic is your ability to actually see it and to know that it exists and to see it. And you will not see it in one go. You will see it just slowly. You will see it step by step. And it takes from you to believe that it exists and that what you want is really there. Okay, so that web is actually a creation of the universe. The universe around us is intelligent. It's holding this web for us all, and it does want us to be happy. It's not like throwing challenges at us. It wants us to be happy. It's just that sometimes in this reality, in life, we forget the magic, and we only focus on the worries and the troubles. So we can't see that shiny path again. So that was my definition of magic. And I think that it's magic is in everything. It's in every single thing around us. So let's take a pause now, stretch a little bit. I know I like to move around a lot, And I'm gonna take you back to trees again. Now, trees are very wise creatures because they've been here on Earth for a very long time. They're really wise. When I came to New Zealand, and I traveled a lot, especially in the North Island, there were forests of fern trees and lots of dense bush. And I lived a little bit in New Plymouth. There was a volcano, it's called Mount Taranaki. And I used to wake up every morning and just see the volcano right in front of my front porch if it wasn't cloudy. And the nature there sort of brings you back to primitive times, in very, very ancient times when people, still lived in nature and they didn't have that technology. That was the nature of the setting. So I was reminded of the ancient magic that was available to everybody. I started relating to the trees, of course, and I started to just ask the trees, okay, how can I find the magic back? And they led me to ask some questions around what did people in ancient times have, very, very long ago when we didn't have technology, when we didn't have lots of metals and tools, when people used to just gather berries and fruits from around them, and they lived very, very close to nature. People on those times, they survived, they thrived also. We were very powerful in those times. Even if we don't have the technology that we have today, humans were able to survive against all the odds. Imagine us humans living in that sort of primitive wild setting. Did you think that we were running around panicking, being afraid? Maybe we were at certain points, maybe, but there was more to life as well. See, we've got all these cultural artifacts handed down to us. We've also got stories that people in ancient times told. So we know that humans, they were able to make it, and they also celebrated life while they were living that style. So I started asking, okay, what did they have? What was that thing that they had in ancient times? And I don't know, does anyone want to take a guess? What did, as humans, what did we have back thousands and thousands of years ago that we still have today?
Trees, yeah. Trees and nature and the magic of nature around us. Yes. What else? Connection. Wildlife. Love. So they did have all this abundant, wise nature around them. They also had, Zeb says, family. Yes. And that ties back to the connection. They were connected to the nature around them. They were also connected to each other, to their family. And they had this love for life, they had this big desire to live. So that was so you've touched on nature as well as this love for life and connection. So here's what I'm gonna also list. So first of all, they had Matteo said clouds. Yeah, clouds. Clouds are lovely, with all the images that they give. Yes. So they, as humans, we first of all, let's start with the very basics. I see animals as well. So the basic primal instinct to survive, that was one, like an instinct to know that, okay, this is dangerous and this is bad for us. And our primal instinct defenses, whether we need to run away or we need to hide or we need to fight, or we need to pretend that we are we can't move, we need to pretend that we need to hide so that no one can see us. That was one. And the other one was also, let's give a little bit of gratitude to the brain and to the logic of people. The human brain has developed a long a lot. It had developed a long while from that times to now, but that's where it all started, that sort of logical intelligence. And that logical intelligence is based on our ability to see something, to memorize it, to take the knowledge in and retain it. And of course our perception, like our senses, our how we see the world. And people in ancient times really used their senses well. So their sense of sight and sound and smell, and they had a very acute level of senses. And then there's something beyond the physical senses, beyond the five physical senses of it's when you know something, but you can't really
touch it. You can't touch it, or you can't taste it, or you can't see it, but you know that it's there. And that knowing without really knowing, you just know it's there, but you can't explain it. It's like having a hunch or an itch. That's called intuition. So that's your intuitive powers. And I call this the forgotten magic, because a long time ago, we relied a lot on intuition because we were faced by challenges which we didn't see before, and we couldn't really rely on our knowledge or on our logic. So we had to rely on our intuition. And I'm going to give this example again, the maze. Our intuition is what really tells us that, first of all, there is something better lying outside of the maze. It's our intuition that tells us we need to go there. We need to see there. We need to, we need to desire this certain thing. And then it's our intuition that tells us, okay, we need to go left here. We need to go right here. It tells us which step to take. Even if we are on a path where we haven't been there before, intuition is what can help us get there. And that's part of the magic, really. The magic is being connected to your intuition and having that very strong connection to it. So, again, I'm gonna pause a little bit, and I'm gonna wonder, okay, how does intuition work? And I'm gonna ask the trees this time as well, because in ancient times, people had this nature, this wildlife around them, and people learned from the wildlife around them. So what we're gonna do, we're gonna go through an activity where we're just gonna ask the tree, what do we need to know about intuition? So I'm gonna just tell you to remember that tree that you imagined right from the start of this class. Okay, does everybody remember the tree that they had? And here's what we're gonna do. We're just gonna sit straight and just pretend that we're leaning back on the tree. So our tree is behind us, and we're just leaning back on the trunk of the tree. And what I'm gonna get you to do, just put one hand on your heart and one hand on your belly, and just try to breathe and pretend that this is your core. This is your core, and you're leaning back onto your tree. And we're gonna try to merge with the tree, to just pretend that we are the tree. And we're gonna feel what does it feel to be the tree. And the first thing that I feel is the trunk. The trunk of the tree is really solid and strong, and it's like our core. So to help us just feel that, if you can take just a breath into your heart and out of your belly, if you can just breathe like that a little bit. And when you breathe, try to fill your belly up with air, like a balloon. You know how you fill the balloon up? So if you can breathe like that, if you can breathe into your belly. And this way of breathing is just to make you feel the core of your body. And it helps bringing you back into calmness, into that sort of stability of the tree. And now you can put your hands on your lap and think about trees. What else do they have other than the trunk? They have really deep roots going down into the ground. And if we can pretend that our feet are actually roots and they go down, down, down into the ground. And notice how the gravity of the earth pulls down on you. See, gravity is always there. We can always rely on gravity to calm us down. And if you're feeling any tension or any thoughts in your head, let's just brush them off like this, and just try to go back and feel that we're one with the tree. And a reminder, why are we doing this? I want you to have a sense of what's it like to connect into the into nature. What's it like to connect into the wisdom of your tree? So yeah, try to just feel if you were a tree and you have roots going down into the earth, what would it feel like? See, you've got, hand over heart, hand over belly. You've got your core really strong, like the trunk. And then you've got roots going down, down, down into the earth. Notice how the earth is generous. The earth will always welcome you. See, the earth never, says to the roots of the tree, no, you're not allowed to be here. The earth always, always welcomes you. And yeah, whenever you feel, you feel ungrounded or you feel getting worried too much, that's one of the ways that you can just ground back into the earth. And what I'm gonna get you to do now, I'm gonna again think about the tree. What else does the tree have? The tree has branches. So yeah, you'll see me stretching out a lot. And on top of the branches, you know how the leaves get their food from sunlight. So that's another thing that the tree has. It has an infinite supply of sunlight. Even when it's night, like the sun is still there. So let's just, if you can get your hands and pretend like this is the sun and you're cupping the light from the sun and you are bringing it down, down, down back to your core. And you're just breathing it. So you take the light and you bring it down. Just like that. And you bring it down into your core again. And this is what trees have. They have the earth below and the sun above. And I've just touched on the first earth magic spell. I call it a magic spell because it's there to help us remember the magic that just like trees, we are also held. We are held by the earth below and by the sky above. So we are always connected. We are connected to our planet. We're connected to the sun. And that brings us strength and certainty. Whenever we feel unsure, that's our certainty. The earth, by the earth below me and by the sky above me, I know I am held. That's the first magic spell. And tuning into, our tree guide, our trees help us remember that because of just their nature, because the way they're shaped. And now I'm gonna let's shift a bit. The trees, there are leaves on the trees, right? And maybe you know how much leaves trees have. And I feel that I'm like the tree as well when I have so many thoughts in my head. I have so many feelings coming up. And my thoughts sometimes feel like the leaves. They're moving around. Sometimes the wind, snatches them off and they go away. Sometimes they stay with me, and sometimes they're moving, and sometimes they're distracting me. And the thing about leaves is that they fall off and they grow back again, and it's like a cycle. And knowing that our thoughts as well and our feelings are also a cycle, that they come and they go, but we remain like the tree. We remain in our core. So that also helps us connect to the magic, because it tells us that no matter how we change, we can still go back to our core. And I'd like to call this the second earth magic spell. And it's that all life is a cycle. And may I thank every beginning, middle, and end. Because sometimes, our thoughts start, but then they move, and then they go away. So it's for us to celebrate the change. And now, what else do you find around your tree? See, the tree is not alone. The tree is also connected to everything else around it. Let's see, there are the other trees, there are the houses, the neighborhood, and there's also the soil and the air and the sunlight and the rain. There's the animals, the birds. And you know how tree just receives all the sunlight and the air and gives it back to everybody else, and how everything is connected. So that's the third magic spell, is that everything is connected. May I remember how every single thing is connected to everything else. We don't live alone. We are all connected. And now, here's the bit though. Okay, sometimes we see animals fighting with each other. Maybe we've got the squirrels fighting with each other. Maybe the birds are fighting over something. And then we look at, how it's still peaceful, even with the different elements of nature going on about it. It's still very peaceful. The tree just watches the world, and the world goes on. It's like an infinite story, and there's so much happening in it. And we do have our part in this story. So we don't know the part yet. We don't know our part yet, but that's okay. So we only say, may I play my part well in this grand mystery of the infinite universe. We are open to the mystery. We know that we do have a part to play. Maybe we don't know it yet. Maybe we do know it, but everything is connected and we have a part to play in it. And of course, there's our breath in our center. Our breath connects everything together. That's the fifth magic spell, is that I breathe, I am. And it brings everything together. So this is what we just did. We've asked the tree to help us remember how we can connect to the magic around us. What we did was, first of all, connect to our core. And connect to the earth below us, the sky above us, and then remember the connectedness all around us. And we know that we do have a part to play, but maybe we don't know it yet. So these five magic spells are here to just help us come back into our body, into the strength of our body, and remember the magic. You know, people in ancient times, you know what they also had that we still have today? They had the physical body. See, our human physical body. Ah, yes, the sun. Yeah, the sun and the earth and the nature. It's been with us there. But also, the human physical body has been with us right from the start. And it can be a very powerful thing. See, the human body is actually there for a lot of reasons. It can help us in a lot of ways. So in one way, it helps us do stuff. You know, it's our vessel. It helps us go places. It moves us, and it's also like our faithful animal. You know, it's when I does anybody of you have pets? Like a pet dog or a pet cat? Yeah. So you know how your pet stays with you all the time, and it's there. If you have a dog, and cats are different, but like dogs like to protect you. So I want you to think of your human body as also as a faithful pet. It wants to protect you. And at the same time, you know, you have to feed it and take care of it. And you need to make sure you sleep on time and eat the right food. Now, there's another function for the human body that not everybody talks about. And it's our human body is like receiver for the magic around us, the infinite intelligence of the universe. We can tap into it using our human body. It's like you know how you have a Wi-Fi router machine, and the Wi-Fi brings in your internet, and then you plug into it. Your body is actually a Wi-Fi machine router, a Wi-Fi router. It has an energy field around it. And it's with this energy field that you can connect to the magic web around you. Now, our body has it has the physical body that we see. We've got our thoughts, our mental body, we've got our emotions, emotional body. We also have the energetic body. And the energetic body is just made of we can't really touch it or see it, but we can feel it. And we use it to sense into the magic around us. When we are not feeling, when we are feeling upset or we are feeling sad or angry, it's difficult for us to really tap into the magic around us because the signal is sort of distorted. You know? That's why we go back to that, returning to our core strength and stability, and we connect just like we did with the tree to return to our inner calmness so that we can clear the channel, we can clear we can have a clear signal, and then we can receive the intelligence more clearly. And sometimes when we are going through the you know, when we're upset, we are having so many contradicting feelings and emotions. So sometimes we feel that we can't trust ourselves. What we do, we go back to that, you know, inner stability. Okay, any questions so far? We've made it through quite a bit of what I wanted to tell you today, and it's that first step. The first step around working with magic is to actually get our physical body into that state, that inner calm state. Yeah, would anybody love to ask a question? Okay. Yeah, I see a thumbs up from Mateo. Yeah, Kamari.
Oh, let's go to Mateo first since
Ah, okay.
he's a student.
Do you have a question?
Mateo?
No, I don't.
Oh,
Oh, you're just giving me thumbs up.
okay.
Okay,
I
thank
was
you.
going to ask if any of the children have a sense of having felt this energy you're talking about in any way, and they could share their experiences with us so that all of us would get an idea of what you're saying. Have you felt it in any way, this energy that Mrs. J, how about Miss Nadine?
Nadine,
That Miss Nadine is talking about. Have you felt that energy when you're outside or when you're not outside? And if so, how? Anybody? Anybody felt that energy? How about when somebody's looking at you and you just know it? Anybody had that feeling? Yes, you have. You just know it, right? Somebody's looking at you. And you turn around because you know it. Do you feel that? They're not answering. Yes, I see at least one head nod, but you've all felt that. We've all felt that. How else might you feel the energy? Sometimes do you ever have goosebumps and you don't know why, but you know there's something happening. Do you feel that? That's another way of feeling the energy Miss Nadine is talking about. What else might you feel? And when you go out in the sun, there's a warmth you feel. And there's sometimes if something's scary, there's kind of a chill that you feel, right? I think we also, maybe I was too late to notice it, but I think you probably introduced it with some information about the solar eclipse coming up in 2 days. And you mentioned how important it is to be out in nature during that eclipse. Now, have your glasses on, be careful, but do exactly what Miss Nadine says, particularly during the eclipse. Getting in touch with the cosmos and the earth and allowing it to flow through you. And you might even say something to yourself or out loud, I am open to receiving what. Whatever information, whatever good feelings that I can receive right now, whatever's in my best interest, whatever I'm open to. And right through that, my understanding is that if we're willing to leave behind a lot of negative things in our life, that we will be more and more open to the wonderful things the cosmos brings, particularly this solar eclipse on Monday. This is going to be a very, very interesting one. Maybe some of you noticed that it's making an X, the one from 2017, and this one finishes the X. It also goes through about 22 cities named Salem, which is the word for peace. And so let's us be in that energy of peace, right?
Yeah,
Okay.
that's very beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. And we've got a question. Can our body's antenna also receive some signals from fairies or angels? So, yes. So, fairies and angels and mythical creatures, they're part of the way that we express the magic. So this magic around us, the magic in the universe, it has many faces to it. And we like to it's so diverse. And some people say it's fairies, other people say it's archangels, and yes, that's how we receive the whatever they want to tell us. We use our body, just the way that we were talking about this energy field around you. You can call it your magic antennas. It's how you get all the information from around you. When I was, with my story with the cedar trees and how I saw the magic, there's also a question. Why don't look at the solar eclipse? Yeah, don't look directly at the solar eclipse because it damages the eyes, because the sun is too bright. But when the eclipse is there, sometimes we don't feel its brightness when we can look. But yeah, we can't look at it directly. Yeah. Yeah, so while I was telling my story with the cedar trees, how I saw the magic around me was through the trees telling me, the trees speaking to me and giving me these images, and then images of the dragon and a knight on a horse. Or another image that I used to also get was, a big, a strong creature with wings around me, holding my back. And I used to think of it as an imaginary friend, but it's part of the magic that I just connected to, and it helped me all the time, from when I was a child, even until I'm an adult, because you can think of it as a fairy or as an angel as well, where you know that you can't see it or you can't touch it, but you know it's there, and it's there to support you. It's there to, bring you back to your strength and make you feel that you're safe and that you're strong. Yeah. And what the easiest way to center yourself when you're feeling upset and you forget that you have this connection to the magic is that activity we did with our tree guide. It's very important to use our breathing as our recentering tool, because our breath is available to us all the time. And it's as long as we are breathing, we know that we are connected. And our hands are actually energy centers as well. When we move them, they actually move the energy around us. See, that's why you see me doing this at the start, because it sort of moves the energy around me. It takes it from my breath, from my heart, and it spreads it out around me. And when we put one hand over heart, one hand over our belly, it stabilizes the energy. Our heart, when it pumps, it actually creates like energy fields around it. And when we actually put our hands on our heart, it's like we're connecting back into that energy field. And we put it back into our belly. Our belly is our center of our strength. When we connect our heart with our belly, it's like returning us into that inner strength. And you can do this whenever you want to take a break from your day, or you feel too much is going on. I like to do it when I want to go to bed, when I'm sleeping in my bed. It helps me, calm down and just have this big restful sleep. Again, remember that you have the earth. You always have the earth to help take away whatever you have, negative thoughts or doubts or fears. You just brush them off, you brush them off, and you send them down to earth. And earth has this beautiful way of changing things. You know, when plants die and they become like compost, all the plants and the leaves and the dead grass, they become compost, and we put them down in the soil, and then something new grows out of it. So that's why the earth actually welcomes us when we send our thoughts back to the earth. It's not like the earth doesn't want our negative thoughts, because the earth can change our negative thoughts. It can transmute them into something different, into something more deep and rich, and then something new can come out of it. And of course, there we've got the sun. The sun is our light, and I did this. I pretended that I'm actually taking the light of the sun and bringing it down back to my heart. And you can breathe while you do it. So you breathe from here and you fill up your heart. Our breath is very powerful. Sometimes we take it for granted, and we think that how can it be this powerful? So this was the first step of working with ancient magic, to really go back into your core stability. And next time we are going to talk about how you navigate how you navigate going around to find the magic. So we're just gonna go step by step. And if you would like to explore further on your own, I suggest you have a journal. You get a diary or a journal, or can be a scrapbook, and you sit down with it every day, and maybe before you go to bed, and you write down events in your day or that made you feel wonder and curiosity, where you felt that you've been touching into that magic. You might write to note down any dreams you have as well. Okay, bye, Sarita. Yeah, thank you. So yeah, if you can start like I call it a magic journal, just to note down events in your day where you felt that joy and you felt that connectedness. And if you can practice this deep breathing, hand over heart, hand over belly, if you can do it at least once a day when you wake up or before you go to bed, if you can do it on a regular basis, it really helps. You will be having the class notes about what we talked about. And you will have those five earth magic spells that I talked about, just for you to remember how that activity with the tree. If you want, I can read them out loud again, all in one go. You just remember to connect to your tree, and You don't need to say them out loud. It's just for you to again remember. By the earth below me, by the sky above me, I know I am held. All life is a cycle. May I thank every beginning, middle, and end. May I remember how every single thing is connected to everything else. May I play my part well in the grand mystery of this infinite universe. I breathe, I am. So this is just like a quick reminder for you. Whenever you feel that things are not going okay, a quick reminder to bring you back into that mindset that magic is around you. And make time to connect with your tree guide. Just sit with it and ask it questions. If you're not that much of a tree person, maybe choose an animal or a flower or maybe the clouds. And you know how we did? We pretended that we were merging with the tree. So you pretend that you are actually one with your chosen creature, and you just go into that space where you ask them questions. You ask them some things about what's going on in your life, and you just listen. What answers would you receive? And if you'd like, write whatever you receive in your magic journal. Write or scribble or doodle or color in whatever way you feel drawn to, in whatever way you like. I like keeping the journal because then you can actually keep track and you can look back at it later and see, oh, this day I saw this, I felt this. So that was it for lesson one. I'll ask again, anybody has any questions or anything that you'd like to see in this course? You can also prepare some questions and bring them to next session if you'd like. Yeah, Kamari, yeah. Truth
As
says
far as what I
animals.
Would like to see, most people, certainly children, are not auditory learners. I think we'd like to see visuals and more sensing things. It's only 10% of people really learn from what they hear. And, you know, so more of that, and maybe actually demonstrations of how you and I like are using this magic, so they actually see it in operation, and maybe they can experience it, and maybe, you know, we can watch them doing some of this magic next time. It's not as difficult as they may think. Give it
no,
a try,
it's
guys,
not.
and
Yeah.
Be sure that you do it every day, particularly Monday during that eclipse during the middle of the day. I guess a lot of them are still in school towards that. It's about the time you get out on the East Coast of the United States. Not sure where all of them are. But even if you're not in its path, it's a really good time to connect with the codes coming from cosmos. Be just saying that you're open to getting the best that's raining almost down on us from the cosmos. And that's a really good time to practice what Miss Nadine said about our breathing and our hands. And I would suggest we all do spirals wherever you are. I don't know if any of you've noticed. You want to talk about magic? There's some interesting magic going on out in the cosmos. Can you imagine a spiral around the it was actually around the black hole. You'd have to see a picture. That's never happened. But there's a lot of magic going on out there right now, and we can all be a part of it just by saying we want to and getting out there and draw a spiral, make it with pebbles or stones or seashells or whatever you have, a spiral, you know, a spiral, and just do it in the grass, in the dirt, and chalk on your sidewalk, and be a part of all that. And you be open to the magic, and then tell us what happened next week, right?
Spirals are really powerful symbols. You know that magic also speaks in symbols sometimes. That's why if you want to write spirals in your magic journal or whatever you feel called, whatever shape you feel called to see, sometimes we don't understand what it means, but it's the visual usually holds some kind of power. And you know how a lot of magical structures in nature or even people in ancient times have built, like the Stonehenge and the labyrinths in lots of places, because the structure, the symbol, also has a certain power to it.
Did you all know that there is a green comet out there right now? In fact, when the sky goes dark for the people in totality, they're even going to see the green comet where they are. But you can look out in your own night sky. That's a bit magical when you think about it. Comets aren't generally green, are they? So look for magic wherever you are. And it doesn't have to be just something puffing into your hands, although I've had that happen many times. But it could be that all of a sudden, when we think of comets being yellow or gold or white, it's green. It's a bit magical, isn't it? When you think about it, look for magic in odd places and you'll find it. Right?
We have two questions. True is asking about spirit animals and Agni, Annie, is that how you say your name? Is there also a good protection spell? Sorry for not able to say your name properly. But for spirit animals, yes, we're actually going to be touching more on spirit animals next week. And just like we did with the tree today, you know, the tree is a spirit plant, let's say, a spirit creature. In the same way, you can connect to animals in the same way and use that same technique of feeling the presence of your spirit animal and just trying to connect with it and merge with it. Is there a good protection spell? So the best protection spell is, you know, what we did in the start of our session when I've actually opened a sphere of light. So that's the best protection spell there is that you just breathe into your heart and then you breathe out into your surrounding and you pretend that you are creating a sphere of light that doesn't put people away, but it actually lets in the light and the good things, and the harmful things, it reflects them off. It doesn't let them get to you. And again, it's not about pushing people away or being afraid that we are gonna get hurt. It's about shining our light, and when other people see us in this light, their own light will come on, and then they will, you know, they will not, some of them would still, but you know, we can't be over positive sometimes, but yeah, this is the best protection spell that I know. Yeah. Okay, Aurora. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions, or we can wrap it up for today?
We call Cherokee.
Unanswered.
Okay.
Just the recording will be posted on Monday up in the Northern Hemisphere and Tuesday in the Southern Hemisphere. Thank you so much, Nadine. That was beautiful.
Thank you, Kathleen. Yeah. And so we'll wrap it up for today and say bye. And what I want you to do, imagine that big sphere of light that was holding space for us all here and forever who is watching the replay. As we say goodbye, I want you to imagine this big sphere of light splitting into small sphere of lights, and each sphere of light is around each one of you, so that this big sphere of light is now splitting, and there's one over me and one over each of you. Okay. And as I said again, if you have any questions, you bring them to next session, and there will be slides. Sorry, there will be handouts. I've got notes. And these would be sent with their replay. And the notes have more of a visual. I've got some images and a visual sense to that. Okay, so thank you all. Thank you all for attending, and see you next time. Bye bye.